Riders falling short in the West Final. Cody Fajardo high-fiving fans as he leaves the stadium. You see his face. It looks like he's almost in tears. Be it physical pain, emotional pain, everything he's gone through in the last 3 weeks, being consoled by Dan Clark. An incredible performance by Cody Fajardo. An incredible football game with twists and turns, things to make you mad, things to make you happy. The ultimate result is the Bombers have won 2 road games and will go to the Grey Cup. Luke, when I try to take it all in, I don't even know what to say about all of this. They had their opportunity a couple of times, the Riders did.
Well, here's the thing, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders need to understand this. The Rider Nation needs to understand this. 8 teams in this league are going to feel exactly the way Rider Nation feels right now. 8 teams. There's only one winner at the end of the day, and obviously you would have liked it to be Saskatchewan, but this was a good game, and the better team to win today. The Riders can point to a number of things in this game as obviously as the result of why they lost. They couldn't get the ball across the goal line. Fantastic job by Richie Hall and that Winnipeg defense. They had a couple coaching decisions really let them down. And again, it's at this point in the playoffs, you've got to be rolling on all cylinders. And unfortunately for the Riders, it didn't happen. And Winnipeg came in here and they pretty much played a perfect game.
It's tough to argue with that. Zach Collaros, 267 yards passing, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. The Riders held down that Chris Strebler run game. Absolutely erased it. Strebler, 4 carries for 10 yards. Held Andrew Harris to 10 carries of 41 yards.
But that was the thing, though. That's why we were saying on Friday that Strebler was never the threat. The threat was losing the physical battle. And you got to listen. Shout out to Coach Dickinson. Shout out to Stephen McAdoo and all the coaches for the year they had. But I would actually lean towards putting this loss on them. This, other than that brilliant coaching decision to run the sort of fake misdirection punt return.
Yes.
The coaches let them down, I think, here a little bit. And again, we're going to be able to point to 3 solid examples. And I say it all the time. I said it about the Blue. It was one of the Blue Bombers' problems since 2016. You can't kick your way to a Grey Cup. Winnipeg got the ball across the goal line one more time than the Saskatchewan Rough Riders did today. And then they kicked a bunch of field goals. You're just not going to do it.
We will talk about those coaching decisions. We will hear from Coach Dickinson. We'll ask him about a couple. The offense and defensive stars of the game. We'll take you to all the post-game sound from the Riders as they fall on this day in the West Final. 20-13 is the final. For our friends at Sask Lotteries, Capital Auto Mall, and Vaterstad, the fifth quarter continues after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. The Riders' season is over, falling 20-13 here in the West Final at Mosaic Stadium, and every Bomber fan that made the drive, that took the flight, is down celebrating with their team.
Well,
congratulations to them.
Yeah.
A fantastic performance, and rivalries and hatred and all of that feel so great for all of these fans, though.
I'm really glad you said that, DT. I really am, because you're exactly right. We spent a lot of time on the sports cage crapping on the Bombers, crapping on their fan base, crapping on the coaching staff. But in reality, this is a fan base that really deserves a winner. They pack IG Field. They are so supportive. I mean, they came out here in droves today. So,
yep.
Again, you got to feel nice for their fan base because they deserve it. It's been a long drought there. And the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I mean, I tweeted out earlier this weekend. This day featured 4 of the best fan bases in the CFL.
Yeah, that's
Hamilton,
fair.
Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. And obviously, we'll see who comes out on top. But you can't be mad at the Bombers today. They were the better team.
The Bombers,
all the way around, too.
Yeah. The Bombers haven't won a Grey Cup since 1990. That stat well-known to every Rider fan. Hamilton hasn't won one since 1999.
Yeah.
We're going to have one that has a team that win the Grey Cup that hasn't won it in at least 2 decades. And there's no question who we wanted to win this game. Let's not kid ourselves. But you're happy for fans who have been long, long suffering. We're here for SaskTel. Young's Equipment, and Sask Milk. Turnovers, a big story of this
season
game.
Defining.
Let's start with that. One of them was a Cody Fajardo interception. During the game, I got texts from a player and a coach in the CFL. One said, Cody looks like he's laboring. The other one said, he looks like he is fantastic, right on beat. What did you see from Cody Fajardo today?
I saw a starting quarterback of the Canadian Football League fighting for a Western bye to the Grey Cup. I was really impressed with the way Cody came out and played today. His receivers let him down a couple times in some big situations, and Manny not even looking at the football on a quick slant. But you didn't get the job done, period. You didn't get the job done. And
he didn't look super limited physically.
In pain at all. If the narrative wasn't Cody Fajardo's oblique this week, you wouldn't have even known he was injured. He played a great game.
27 of 41, 366 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. The only thing I wonder about his health affecting something was the fact they put Brian Bennett in from the 6-yard line, right? They had to settle for a field goal.
That was something that they had planned the entire week. They knew they were either going to lose Cody Fajardo at some point to the pain in his oblique. They were going to know he couldn't play. Either one of those scenarios, they needed a package with another quarterback. It's the problem is when they dialed it up, they used the wrong play out of the package. And you have a quarterback that's literally done one play, the play before that, and to put him in shotgun, I don't care about, it was a miscommunication. Well, guess what? You shouldn't have been there. This team was brought here by this offensive line. The offensive line got him to this point. You need to lean on your O-line at the two going in. And I don't care. Look at the proof. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers stopped them the next time. Well, yeah, that was the next time. But they might not have stopped them that time, and you could have gotten the ball over the end zone, goal line. So,
two shots from the 1-yard line would have been great. It ended up being a field goal with the line of scrimmage from the 6. And did it ultimately cost the Riders the game? There's a million points in this game that could have gone different, could have gone better, could have gone worse. It was a brave performance from Cody Fajardo. I think we all agree that his 2-year contract that takes the Riders through a 2020 season in which they will host the Grey Cup, I think we are all happy that Cody Fajardo will be wearing green for the near future. Luke and I are in the broadcast booth brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Search it, watch it, bid on it. Buy it at McDougalBay.com and on the McDougal Bay app. We'll hear from Coach Dickinson, the offense and defensive stars of the game, and quarterback Cody Fajardo as we continue from Mosaic Stadium. The Riders falling short in the West Final, 20-13 the score. We're back after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Tremendous regular season from the Riders. The season ends with an incredible football game here in Regina. They come up on the short end. 20-13 is the final. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers winning two road games to advance to the Grey Cup. They will take on the 15-win Hamilton Tiger Cats in a 3-versus-1 matchup this season. We have some time, Luke. We need to talk about the coaching decisions, and we'll get a chance to ask Coach Dickinson about it. The first one is, we've seen it before and we saw it again. There were 12 seconds left when they snapped the ball, when they got to the line of scrimmage for the pass to Naaman Roosevelt at the end of the half.
Total, right?
Yeah.
And it was just poor clock management all the way through. They had two timeouts.
Right.
And 48 seconds. And they dialed up the right plays. It's just they ran out of time at the end. It was terrible clock management. It was terrible usage of your timeouts at the end of a half. And it was something that's, unfortunately, it's plagued the Riders all year.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we get it exactly right. The official play-by-play says 19 seconds when William Powell took that surprise 15-yard run, which then changed everything. 13 seconds when it was whistled in for the pass to Naaman Roosevelt. But we saw it. They threw that pass clock.
You still had two timeouts. Yeah, and there was no sense of urgency.
It's not the first time it's happened. That it happened again, I assume that bothers you more, that it's happened now twice this season.
We were really impressed with Coach Dickinson's ability to be transparent and to say, yeah, you know what, it's my bad. But again, I really don't care if it's your bad and just don't let it happen again. And unfortunately, it's happened a number of times this year. And eventually, you have to say, well, coach, saying my bad isn't good enough, right? Like, where do we improve it? How do we improve that? So you can be as transparent as you like. Bottom line is they had to make better decisions there to close out the half. And then when you looked at Brian Bennett and the way they used him.
Yeah, let's set this one up. There was 12:02 left in the game. First and goal from the Winnipeg 8-yard line. Bennett takes a shotgun snap. Tremendous run, pushes down to the 1-yard line. Second and goal from the 1. They put Bennett in shotgun with William Powell. Forgive me, I don't remember if it was a pistol or he was slightly offset, but they collided in the backfield. And Jonathan Kongbo got a 5-yard sack there.
Well, it's a package that they didn't use all year, right? And it's okay to put in some little surprises here and there in your game plan when you're in the playoffs, but they made a wholesale change in a personnel package and grouping, and they used that package in a moment, in a situation where they really needed to cross the goal line with the football. It wasn't just any old situation, right? It wasn't like they were up and they needed the points. They couldn't continue kicking field goals. They knew that. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers knew that. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers played it aggressively, and again, they ran into nothing. It was an unfortunate waste of a possession. And when you look at the way and the situation of the game when they wasted the possession, it's just a bad coaching decision all the way around.
And then the final drive. Well, the one great coaching decision was the fake punt return that I still can't get over what I saw and have to go back and see it. But you were calling for it. Winnipeg's forced to punt with a minute 15 left. They burned the clock down. You said we need a big return from Marcus Thigpen. Mm. They got it. A 23-yard return. Yep. Powell and then Fajardo didn't fumble after the review. And then Manny Arsenault running just an angled route across the field. Never looked for the ball. And you want, as an outsider, I wonder what on earth was happening in that play. And then Cody hits the crossbar, and there's nothing you can do about that. It's third down.
Again.
Very quickly, we're good to go. We have our offensive star of the game, Kyren Moore, our offensive star of the game. Kyren, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time here. Go down to the locker room. We can talk to our offensive star, Kyren Moore. We'll work out some technical difficulties. Kyren Moore, the offensive star of the game. And as you've been listening, you absolutely understand why that is. 10 targets. He caught 9 of them for 119 yards. Mm-hmm. And just critical, critical plays along the way. Kept drives alive, made drives happen.
Yeah, we said it really early on in the game, as a matter of fact, that they were going to have to get Kyren Moore involved, because one of the things that you saw immediately was that Winnipeg wasn't going to let Shaq beat them,
yeah,
and they were going to stop the run.
We do have Kyren Moore now at the locker room. Kyren, thanks for your time.
Hey, how you doing? No problem.
Kyren, can you tell us how you're feeling right now?
I'm hurt, man.
Yeah. Tell me about this game. You were incredibly productive. The offense had some things going. What will you take away from this game?
I know my teammates count on me a lot, you know, from the coaches to the players, and they count on me to make some plays, you know, and I went out there and I made them. I love this team, man. They fought to the end.
Yeah, you absolutely did. You had an incredible catch down at the 2-yard line. And please tell me about the catch. It bounced off Marcus Sale's hands, and you managed to corral that play. Tell me about that play.
Yeah, when I was running, I was just trying to get open, and I felt like I was wide open. He really scared me when he undercut it because I ain't feel him. But as soon as the ball was thrown and I saw him tip the ball, I just said, I got to make this play. Make sure to keep my feet in bounds, but I knew I had to make the play.
Yeah, that is incredible presence of mind to, one, make that catch, two, keep your feet in bounds in such an important time in the game, for three. You finish with 9 catches for 119 yards. Is there solace in a great individual performance in a team loss?
Nah.
If you say no, I totally believe it.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Winnipeg have in this game? What made them the winners in this game?
They just kept the lies off our mistakes, you know, from on the offense standpoint. We had outsides and we had a couple fumbles. And they just kept the lies off of it. And when they had a chance to make a big play, throw the ball deep, they made the play. So they just made more plays than us.
Kyren, you guys win 13 games in the regular season. After that 1-3 start, you guys play incredible football. When you get a chance to examine the season as a whole, what do you think you'll take away?
It was a fun tough season, you know, from the start to the finish. You know, we started off slow, and for us to come in the locker room, come together, and end up winning 13 games, starting off only winning one. I mean, going 1-3. So it's just a hard fought team.
What do you think it was that made this team? You're talking about how special it is and how great the guys are. What do you think made it that way? Is it the players? Is it coaching? Is it everything?
I say most definitely the players. I've never been in a locker room full of players that just love to come to work just to talk, you know what I'm saying, to the next person or to their teammate. Man, we so close in the locker room. And if you come from another team and you walk in our locker room, you probably won't even understand us, you know, because we like brothers. We fight, we argue, but we also love on each other and we depend on each other when it comes down to it.
Kyren, I know this is pretty much immediately after a disappointing loss, but talk about a couple motivational factors that you're going to take with you into the offseason while you train.
For starters, I ain't going to forget this game. You know, they knocked us off last year. And they knocked us out again this year, so that that right there is the number one motivation. And for me, I look back and watch film and just try to progress on what I do well.
Kyren, what will you do for the off season? Where will you end up? Where will you train? Where's your family? What are you gonna do?
I'll probably head back to Alabama because that's where my family at. Majority of my family, so be in Alabama, train some in Florida. Excuse me, and go back to my school in Tennessee.
Just promise me we'll see you in Saskatoon in May because we need you back on this team.
Yes, sir, I promise.
As fans, we need 85 back out there.
Yes, sir, I got you.
All right, Kyren Moore, I wish this could be under better circumstances, but thank you for your time. And honestly, you guys were an absolute treat to watch and talk to this season. So congratulations. You may not be able to see it now, but congratulations on an incredible year. We appreciate everything you've given us.
Thank you. No problem.
All right. Kyren Moore, the offensive star of the game, 9 catches for 119 yards. An amazing, amazing performance. We're here for our friends at Seedmaster, the Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer, and Casinos Regina and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. Luke, from where we started in training camp in Saskatoon in May, maybe the biggest surprise is how evenly distributed talent and important plays were throughout this receiving core all season long. Some days it was Kyren, a lot of times it was Shaq. Corey Watson might have made the catch. I mean, he wasn't a catch of the game, but an incredibly important catch. He made important catches all year long. You're in good hands with Naaman Roosevelt. The diverse number of weapons that this offense had, I think, was a great surprise and great treat for Rider fans in 2019.
Well, I think they always knew the weapons were there. It was just a case of, okay, how do you utilize these weapons and in which situations are best? I think today, one of the things you saw is the Riders' ability to say, okay, well, here's what's not there, and here's what's going to be there. It's just, again, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers made one more play than the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. You have talent here, and I think that's probably one of the more disappointing factors of the result of the game, is the talent is here to beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and to win a Grey Cup. It didn't happen today.
Yeah, there were 3 teams in the West, right? 11-win Winnipeg, 12-win Calgary, 13-win Saskatchewan. Winnipeg changed everything.
Well,
they got Zach Collaros.
Listen, they came in here and all year we were hard on Winnipeg because they deserved it and because they had, to that point, always let themselves down when it got into the playoffs and it got to those big moments. They just walked into Calgary and Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And got W's. There's no bigger moments than that, and they are to be commended for it.
Quarterback Cody Fajardo is live at the podium now. Let's go there.
We got down there inside the 5, I believe, 3 times and couldn't score a touchdown. So when you play like that, you don't deserve to win.
Cody, what happened on the third down and one sneak? It just didn't look like it looked like the play was blown up right from the snap.
Yeah, we got submarined by our left tackle, and a little bit tough situation just because Vaughn went down, our starting left tackle, so we had a new guy in there who's, I mean, Phil Blake's played a lot of football but not much at tackle, so they just submarined us, and it was just hard, kind of cut my legs out, but yeah, that's a tough one as well.
Kurt, are you numb right now?
Yeah, I think everybody is a little bit, Mitch. You know, give credit to Winnipeg. They did what they had to do to win. But that locker room's hurting right now. We felt like we played good enough to win, and it was it's difficult to put it into words, but we're very disappointed.
Kurt, you had the play with Brian Bennett, shotgun at the 1 yard line. Can you take us through that and if you would have had to do over there?
It's almost like I'm not quite sure actually what the play was. I know we were trying to run it in there, but just a little bit of miscommunication, and you know, we were going to try to go for it if we didn't get it, but we lost three, so we ended up kicking the field goal.
Coach, you're the leader of this team. You obviously went through a lot to get the play to this game. How do you sort of put your emotions into words with what's going on?
It's tough, but we really shouldn't be here if it started off in the beginning of the year, right? No one expected us to be where we're at. We found a way to play together, a very talented locker room. My heart just hurts for a lot of those guys that I'll never get the opportunity to play football with again. Guys will be going to different teams, unfortunately, but that's kind of how this CFL is. And so this team will never be the same, and that's what hurts most, knowing that that's it for us. And we had an opportunity to go to the Grey Cup as a first-year starting quarterback for me. I mean, it's been a miraculous season. I can't just be all negative just because of how it's been. And it's just, I mean, I'm excited for the future, I guess.
I didn't say much because I didn't have a lot to say. I did thank them for the effort, you know, and the heart that they showed, not just this game but all year. You know, lots of pats on the backs to guys that played through pain, played through injury, and really gave us everything they had. And then the last thing I told the guys was, hey, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. You know, that tomorrow's a new day. And as bad as we feel now, it'll get better. And that there's no shame in a battle well fought. I was proud of them, and I left it at that.
What about Cody? You never ever hit a crossbar before in the CFL?
Usually you play, never in the CFL in a game, but usually we play a crossbar game as quarterbacks, and you try and hit it and make little side bets. But that's the one time, obviously, you don't want to hit it. But it's part of the game, and you got to be able to work around it. That's probably one of the craziest endings I've ever had, and I think people have ever witnessed. I just remember hitting that thing, and the stadium was complete dead silence, and I can just hear the echo of the iron when the ball hit it, and just it was just a rush of emotions that kind of went over me.
Can you tell us how badly injured you are?
I have two torn muscles in my oblique that I played through today, and our medical staff did a great job of doing everything we could, and I felt like I did everything I could to play out there, and felt like I was effective, and I didn't hold the team back as much as I thought.
It looked like your game turned around after you methodically took a couple of big hits in the second quarter, and you almost looked mad after that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was the doing, but I just wanted to try and do everything I can to help this team win, right? And that's what I talked about earlier. It doesn't matter what the injury is. You got 6 months off after this to heal it and be ready for training camp. So I was going to play through it regardless.
Cody, you had the early interception to Rose down the left sideline. Was the injury at all a factor just because it looked a little underthrown?
Nope, I tried to back shoulder it. If I can have that throw back, I would work the field to Naaman we call it a shake route. I just got a little anxious and wanted to get Shaq a deep ball. You know, we've been successful with that all year. I missed a little inside, but, you know, I was thinking back shoulder. He was thinking about going over the top. Just a little bit of miscommunication and me being anxious and trying to get too much out of the play. And so that's definitely one play I want back.
Craig, how about the play of your defense and Zach? You know, it seemed that you were in man coverage a lot trying to take away Harris and Strebler. And when Zach was in, he was able to take advantage of some man coverage.
Yeah, I thought Zach played well. You know, he was very accurate. I thought our defense was doing a pretty good job, but if the receiver got a little bit of separation, Zach seemed to find him. So, you know, those are two good teams out there playing today. Guys making plays on both sides. We felt like we just ran out of time.
Did you have a – what happened in that one, the Manny down at the goal line? Were you through?
Yeah, I saw
another miscommunication. I saw a zone coverage where there's an opening in the middle of the field, and he just was running his route. Usually that route's hit on the other side of the field, and I just wish I would have told him in the huddle what I was thinking if they would have gave us that coverage we were expecting. Just another tough miscommunication on our part. I think that's something you might see when I miss practice time with this injury. It's one of the things, I only got to practice with the guys once. And so I think that's a lot of that showed. I knew we were going to be a little bit rusty or new to everything, at least I was, and I felt like we were a little rusty in the first quarter, but kind of caught our stride towards the end of the second quarter.
Whose decision was it to take the ball off the coin toss so you started on offense?
Must be.
Why did you do that?
Well, we wanted a fast start, and we wanted to be going this direction in the fourth quarter. And usually when you take the ball, the second half, the opponent takes the ball, so it allows you to choose the end. And you can go the way you want to in the fourth quarter. And we've won a lot of games going north, and I wanted to have us going north in the fourth quarter.
Craig, what happened at the end of the first half? It just seems that there's been clock management problems.
Yeah, you know, I felt like we could get a play off. The play prior to that, when they punted the ball, it was a little bit confusing because they ruled it an incomplete pass, and it was 3rd and 8. So I left the defense on the field. And then they come back and said, no, it wasn't an incomplete pass. It was a fumble recovery, so now it's 3rd and 15, and I wanted to send the punt return group in, but they blew it in. So I had to stay with the regular defense, and because of that, I felt like a lot of time came off the clock, and then we gave up the single, which we probably shouldn't have, and then we were able to get the ball at 35, and I felt like we still had enough time to maybe take a shot based on what happened on the first play. There was 15 seconds, I think, when William got tackled. And I just didn't want to use a timeout because, as you can see, they're like gold, and you just don't want to use them in the first half. I felt we could get a playoff, Mitch, in time, and then hopefully get the field goal team out there. But
Last question.
I assume your attitude was start with Cody and go from there, but did you ever consider taking him out? Maybe you didn't have him the first round?
No, we're going to go with Cody the whole way. He's our leader. He's going to play.
What did Winnipeg do so well? I just want to know. We haven't talked about Winnipeg at all. Do you think they're the team that's?
I think Winnipeg is very opportunistic. You know, they're very good at situational football. They're well coached, and they seem to do just enough to win. And I think they got a good veteran group. You saw even on that big punt return, 44 comes from, 30 yards away and is able to tackle Nick Marshall. If he doesn't make that play, that's a touchdown. So they just got a lot of grit, and they got a lot of guys that have been there long enough that they know the system, and they just play extremely hard, and they seem to make just enough plays to win.
Right.
Cody, do you have a message for your fan base?
Stay with us. I know it's tough now, but the future looks bright, and I'm excited to be a part of this organization. It's my first off season, knowing that I got a home next year and the year after that. So I'm excited about what J.O. and Coach is going to do to put some talented players and hopefully keep as many guys in that locker room that we can. And future looks bright for the Rough Riders.
Great. Thank you.
Head coach Craig Dickinson, starting quarterback Cody Fajardo at the podium. We will discuss their comments and discuss 2 torn muscles in his oblique. Cody Fajardo, one of many warriors on this team. We're going to go to break. Back after this on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network. Riders falling just a hair short in the West Final, 20-13 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for Redhead Equipment, Nutrien, and Borgo Industries. Let's go down to the locker room. We have head coach Craig Dickinson. Coach, thanks for your time today. Coach is saying hi to some folks down there. We will get to him as soon as we can. Of course, we just heard his press conference and heard from Cody Fajardo. Fajardo had said, hey, ask me after the season, and I'll tell you all the injuries I've been dealing with. He said today, 2 torn muscles in his oblique, something that that had gotten out previously. We do have Coach Craig Dickinson down in the locker room. Coach, thanks for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm here.
All right. You answered many of the questions. You just finished answering many of the questions that we wanted to ask you, which is good. How are you feeling right now?
You know, I really feel for the guys. Got such a good group in there, and there's some guys that are just crushed right now, for lack of a better term. They didn't see it coming, but we certainly want to give credit to Winnipeg. They did what they needed to do to win, and I told them the sun will come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even though doesn't seem like it will right now.
Yeah, you mentioned Winnipeg needs credit. You know how hard it is to win on the road in this league. For them to win against two good teams like yours and Calgary, is that's incredible already.
Yeah, they're a well-coached bunch. I've got a lot of respect for them. You know, and they just make enough plays. I said that in the press conference. They seem to just make enough plays to win, you know. And they're a very smart, situational football team. And, you know, they did enough to win. Zach, I thought, played well, distributed the ball, and when they needed to run it, they were able to.
Cody mentioned in the press conference there, he's working with two torn oblique muscles. From what you saw today, was he at all limited by his injury? Was his performance affected in any way?
No, I thought he played very well and played like the Cody we've seen all year. I don't think it affected him, no.
Did, as a coaching staff, did the play calling have to change at all?
No, we called our offense the way we wanted to. The only throw I thought he made may have affected him a little bit was that deep ball to Shaq, but he said flat out he just tried to back shoulder it. So I think he was, you know, he gutted it out. He'll be sore tomorrow, but I didn't feel like the injury held him back today.
What's it like, and Cody certainly isn't the only one who's nursing injuries, but working with guys like that who are willing to put their body on the line even though maybe they shouldn't be playing, what's it like working with guys like that?
I mean, it's just, they're just warriors. These guys, I just have so much respect for them because they just play with pain. They're just wired differently, these football players. A.C. Leonard just walked by. He's had a bad shoulder all year and had some of the best, you know, best games of the year late in the season. So I just have a ton of respect for them. They put their bodies on the line every day, and they just don't complain. They just come to work.
And then Taron Vaughn tried to go back out there after hurting his shoulder. He tried to slug it out some more. It's another guy that Thad Coleman, I keep seeing him limp in every game, and he keeps putting himself back out there. It's so impressive.
It is. I mean, it's a tough sport. It's a gladiator sport, and I think that's why fans are so fascinated with football, because they realize there's a lot of pain and suffering that goes on during a ball game, and these guys just keep trotting out there and doing it again and again.
When you look at the season as a whole, and I know it's super early post-playoffs, but when you look at the season as a whole, what do you think you'll take away from it?
I think we grew a lot as a team. I think we showed a lot of character and resiliency because we didn't do it the easy way, as you saw. But I think we grew a lot as a team, and hopefully we come back next year confident that we can do it again and maybe take it a little bit further.
I've never heard a team or players talk about how much love they have for other guys in their locker room. That's no small credit to you and to what you and the coaching staff and Jeremy have put together.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, we feel the same way about them. That's why it was so tough. I mean, there's some guys in there that are really hurting. But, you know, that's life, and I told them in there, sometimes things don't turn out the way you wish they would, and you just regroup and rally around the people you have and give thanks and be gracious and be grateful for what you do have, which is each other, and really a fun, good group of guys that stuck together even when things weren't going good. So I'm extremely proud of them, and certainly feel for him right now.
How do you feel about your first season as a head coach? Was it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, it pretty much was. I mean, you're just so busy coaching, you don't really have time to reflect. I hear you giggling back there.
It's funny because you are so, like, I can't even imagine how busy you all are as coaches. Was it fun, I guess?
Oh, gosh, I had a ball. There's no doubt about it. And I enjoy coming to work every day with these guys. I enjoy coming to work with Jeremy and Craig Reynolds and the entire staff and the players. The players have been wonderful. I feel like I've grown as a person being around them. I've grown as a man, and hopefully they feel the same way. I feel like a better person today because of the opportunity I had to work with those guys.
Yeah, we hear stories of coaches who come in at 6 a.m. and there's already beaten to the office by Travis Moore, who's been there for an hour and a half or whatever. The work you guys put in and the just everything that you guys have done this season, if you ever doubted it was appreciated, it absolutely is by Rider fans. Thank you for everything, and thank you for all you've given to us this season as the media. We really do appreciate you being yourself. It's been fantastic.
Well, thank you, Derek, and thank you to the Rider Nation. I mean, we couldn't have done it without you. We're we're sorry we couldn't bring it home for you, but we certainly feel your love and energy, and we certainly appreciate each and every one of you.
And think how great it's going to feel when you win the 2020 Grey Cup right here at Mosaic Stadium. That'll be great.
Yeah, I knew the Rider Nation would be going on that right away, so we'll do the best we can. We'll work hard this offseason to try to be a better team next year.
All right, Coach Craig Dickinson, thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
And thanks for everything this season. Coach's post-game comments are for Great Western Brewery. Try new Original 16 Helles Half Acre. This mid-strength German-style lager offers a citrus taste, a light-bodied finish, and is only 90 calories. We'll get our defensive star of the game, but we'll go to break right now. We're back after this. The Rider season is over, falling in the West Final to the Bombers 20-13. Our defensive star of the game next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Just past 7 o'clock here in Regina. The Rider season is over, falling 20-13 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We're here for AGCO, CAA Saskatchewan, and the TAP. Let's go down to the locker room, talk to our defensive star of the game. He is the league sack leader, Charleston Hughes. Charleston, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, no problem.
What did you see from that Winnipeg offense in this game?
You know, they struck pretty early on us, and you know, after they gave us their best shot in the first half, I think we did a great job of shutting them down in the second half, and it's all good from there.
What was your focus when you thought, okay, here's how we're going to attack this Bombers offense? What was your focus?
I think our focus was just to get to the quarterback. You know, when they make their quarterback changes, is to do our best job is to adapt to the situation and what they're doing.
Yeah, you guys absolutely eliminated the Chris Streveler running game. That seemed to work out quite well for you.
Yeah, I think they didn't get too many running yards on us anyways. I think we just did a good job of getting in and second and short. And, you know, Zach Caleros played a great game and made a lot of plays from there.
Yeah, what's it like seeing Zach be doing that for another team, knowing that at the beginning of the season you guys were teammates?
Yeah, man. I mean, I shook his hand a couple times out there, and I apologized for falling into his legs. I mean, I didn't try to. It was just I got twisted up and couldn't even catch myself. So it is what it is in the end. You know, they played a great game, and they won the game.
Yeah, that always seems like a hard one on defensive players when you're not in any way intending to get him, and you roll into him, and oh, it's 15 yards, and so much turns on that play.
Right, yeah. I mean, it happens. Like, I tried to avoid it, but there was no avoiding that one.
Yeah, Charleston Hughes with us. Charleston, when you think about this season as a whole, what will you take from it?
Really, you just got to take, you know, we were a really good team, and, you know, I think we put everything together, you know, even if we had a new head coach and we had a whole new coaching staff and we had new players on the team and a new quarterback, and with all the injuries and changes throughout the whole season, it just shows that we got a good character on this team, and you know, we rallied together and put together one hell of a season.
Hey, Charleston, Luke here. You're a player that's had a myriad of sort of experiences when it comes to these Western Finals and moving into the Grey Cup. You've won the Grey Cup. You guys haven't advanced. There's been plenty of experience on that side. What's the plan for Charleston Hughes as he approaches this offseason? Like, I know you haven't had a ton of time to think about it, but how do you go about it? Because, I mean, again, you put together 15 sacks and a career high in tackles, right? So where does, I guess, the preparation sort of start for you going into next year?
That's 16 sacks. Too.
Exactly.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah,
my bad.
I knew that was coming.
My bad.
Really just, I mean, little that people know, I got to get surgery this offseason. So, I mean, my arm's pretty banged up. So I kind of pushed it off all the way into the offseason. And, you know, when you're a football player and you never know how hurt somebody is, you know, during the season. And, you know, for me to finish a season like that and really push my surgery to the offseason, you know, I kind of, you know, put myself in position to really come back and come back stronger and faster and do what I have to do to really come back and make plays and do what I do best.
That was going to be the next question, Charleston. Can you tell us how bad your arm is? Because I've heard the word broken. Can you tell us how bad your arm injury is?
Well, it's broken, but I toughed it out for the season and I finished. So that's all I really was, what was most important to me.
Yeah. Can you tell me to stop at any point, but what's broken within it?
A bone.
There are three that converge in the arm. Is it the big one, the little one, or the upper one? If it's the upper
that,
one.
That was Charleston speak for stop asking me that question.
I just want to know if you're going to have my $62 when I win our wager. Is that going to happen?
No.
That means you got to come back next season. You got to be a rider next season and give me my.
I'll be here next season. You never know. It is a CFL, so you never know what will happen. But. You know, I'll still get my $62. You know, I get email transfer.
16 sacks, man. You had an amazing season. And then the injury as well. Your season as a whole, how do you assess it?
Man, I feel like this was one of my better seasons in my career. You know, I felt like I played to my full potential. You know, there was some plays that I think I could have did better or could have made. To really carry me over the top, but I think I did. I had one hell of a season. I think I personally was the best defensive player in this league this year.
Most outstanding, perhaps?
100%. I think I showed that in this game.
Yeah, we honestly don't think we said Willie Jefferson's name until he had a pressure.
Yeah, we saw his name a couple times. It was a really good you got athletic today. Stunt and loop, and it was good to see, man.
Thank you.
All right, Charleston, thank you for your time. Thank you for everything this season. It was an absolute pleasure to watch and cover you guys for the season. Thank you for everything, and part of me can't wait for May to see you back in Saskatoon.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And I want my money on our bet. That's all good.
Oh, man, Zion ain't touched the court yet.
Coming soon. Charleston Hughes, number 39. Yes, Lou, 16 sacks. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I'm the numbers guy, and I should – should have helped you out with that.
More importantly, at 35 or 36, I mean, come on.
He turns 36 in December.
When I was 36, I was eating a diet of Tim Hortons, McDonald's for lunch, and Montana's ribs for dinner. This guy's out here balling against the best athletes in Canada. It's impressive. It's more impressive when you think about him, obviously, sacrificing his personal health and not going and getting surgery and playing until the year. He knew the year was going to be done, so... But again, when you talk about guys who have been in the league for a long time and they're incredibly productive, there's always things that stick out about them that they were willing to do differently than other players, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, Charleston has the answer. And it's not that stupid answer like, oh, yeah, he's found the fountain of youth. No, it's in how he prepares. It's in, you know, something that he does in the offseason in terms of his workouts, how he watches film. But again, you just hope a guy like that can continue to play at a high level whenever he comes back, right? Because him and John Bowman, it's been really nice to see.
It really has. So Charleston will turn 36 on December 14th. This season, he had 50 tackles.
Lord.
Second highest.
That's the thing. 50 tackles from a D end is.
It's a lot.
Just so you guys think, just to think about it. Think about it. When John Chick, was at the height for Rider Nation, that's where he was. He was getting 50 tackles, yeah. 16 sacks, right? Like that's – and again, John Chick wasn't doing that at 35.
No. Jagarrett Davis probably has that number of tackles in Hamilton. Much younger player.
Yeah, it's the most. Jagarrett Davis, shoot. We still remember when we first saw Jagarrett Davis down in Vero Beach, Florida.
It's the most Charleston's had in a season since he was 24 years old playing with Calgary. It's the second most sacks he's ever had. Tied with 2016 and behind only 2013 when he would have been 29 years old, pardon me. An incredible season, and fans will say, oh, it slowed down toward the end. He didn't expand too much on...
slowed down.
Yeah. Humerus, radius, ulna, whatever was broke. It's a broken arm, and I wouldn't do radio with a broken arm.
None of that.
That's amazing.
It's slowed down toward the end type of thing, especially from... Yeah.
Incredibly. And honestly, one of two dozen stories of guys fighting through injuries that we're going to find out about in the next couple of days.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, you got to – I get what you're doing here. I know you're creating, you know, positive things to talk about, and but again
– Vibes, baby.
Yeah. DT, the point is to win a Grey Cup, you know? And I think that to really understand the gravity of the situation and to put themselves in the best position to win the Grey Cup in their own barn in 2020 is that they have to feel this loss. The Riders shouldn't be focused on all that mushy-gushy stuff. They have to feel this loss because this was a loss that through all the things that they did this year, this actually doesn't fit in the storyline. right? This is something that you probably, like Coach Dickinson said, we never saw this coming. Of course you don't see it coming. But at the same time, you want this team to feel this loss. You want them to feel all the downs of this L, and they should, because it motivates you. It gives you something to work with moving forward, right? If you just go in, you're like, oh man, everything's sunshine and roses. Shoot, that's when you don't have the right perspective.
I think as fans, you have to celebrate what was, and then as Coach Belichick, to paraphrase him, we're on to Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Next year starts today, right?
And
Kyron Moore talked about off-season training. Charleston talked about, I need to get surgery now.
The only time you have to really feel like all the mushy-gushy, oh man, I miss my brother's stuff, like that stuff you feel because no two teams are alike. So,
like Cody said in the presser, right?
Here's what's coming, Rider Nation. Just so you know, this has happened since I've been in the league since 2004. Your favorite player is not going to be here next year. Somebody, all right? One of our favorite guys isn't going to be here. You're not going to you're not going to like all the decisions that are made in the offseason, right? But this is a business. This is a business that – and this – right after Sunday, this is where this business rears its ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
No two teams are the same. So that's why. That's why the Riders have to cling on to the special feelings and memories they have, because they won't see their brothers again. But at the same time, you want them to feel the sting of this loss.
Yeah.
This needs to resonate, because this shouldn't have happened.
We're on to Saskatoon.
We're on to, jeez.
They're GameStar selections. They're Kyron Moore and Charleston Hughes. They're brought to you by the Bear Claw Casino. Their friendly place to stay and play on the prairies. Visit bearclawcasino.ca. And I want you to write down those stars and be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball for your chance to win a Special Blend by Weiser's gift pack. Apparently, I won't be getting a hug from Luke after the game. There's no reason for any of that mushy stuff. We're back with more non-mushy content after this on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. They'll run it with Powell. Powell made a man miss at the 34-yard line. Fumble ball to the ground, and lots of Bombers are on it. A 32-yard field goal attempt for Justin Medlock, the best kicker in the league this season. It is up, and the kick is good. They lead the Riders 3-1. Kolaros pumps. He throws. Darvin Adams has a couple of steps at the 30. Darvin's on the run. 50, 55. If Marshall doesn't get him, and he does, fortunately, from the 3 to the 46, a 61-yard gain for Darvin Adams.
Well, I'm not sure.
Watching the passer.
And 15 more.
39.
Kolaros has time. He's going for Bailey in the end zone. Easy touchdown.
It's too easy against the secondary for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Brent Lowther now with the field goal. High snap. 13-yard field goal is up and good. 2:20 remains in the second quarter. Riders now down 10-4. Medlock just outside the 13-yard line. It's Justin Medlock. It's good. Riders now trailing 14-4. Brent Lowther on for a field goal just shy of the 42-yard line. Snap is good. The kick is up. And it is good as well. Riders back within a touchdown. Fajardo gunning. William Powell on the corner route. 31-yard catch. Fajardo dropping back, going deep for Shaq.
Nope.
Underthrown and picked off at the 15-yard line. That play never had a chance. 9-9, A.C. Leonard has him for a loss of one, and backflips.
This defense came to play today.
The kick is up, and it is good as well. The Bombers 17, the Riders 7. 12-yard field goal now for Brent Lowther to make this a 7-point game. It's up, and it is good. Medlock from just outside the 42, middle of the field, to put the Riders down 10. The kick is up, and it is good. Fajardo deep across the middle. Corey Watson to 50. Corey 35 and 30-yard line. Corey Watson, 45-yard catch and run. Where did that come from?
And then they go and totally redeem themselves.
Lowther to make this one for a fourth field goal of the game. It is good. Boots this one up. Forces Thigpen. Thigpen. Oh, they faked it with Marshall. Beautifully done. 25, 30, 35, 40. Nick Marshall. He'll be dropped at the 40-yard line.
Wow.
Almost a house call. Cody Fajardo has game-winning touchdowns, including one in the stadium. What can they do? Third and 8, left hash mark. Tight end to the left. Four-man rush. Fajardo end zone, hits the post, and that's the ball game. And that was how it happened. The Bombers beating the Riders 20-13 to claim the West Division title and advance to the Grey Cup, where they will take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Luke and I are here for Young's Equipment, Sask Lotteries, the Cooperators. See Tom Bamford at Bamford Insurance Group in Regina. And now all the work begins. Grey Cup week happens. We'll be rooting for Cam Judge to be the most outstanding Canadian. Yeah. Charleston Hughes, as he mentioned, not up for most outstanding defensive player. Cody Fajardo up for the MOP of the league. There's a lot of love for Hamilton's Brandon Banks. I cast my vote for the quarterback who put up almost 5,000 yards running and passing this season. So there's, I don't know, everything in my life, always, all the time, I spin it happy. So if I go a little too far down that road, that's where I'm coming from.
No, it's a good thing to have a positive outlook. This was a great game.
This was a great season. It started 1-3. When we left Ottawa in week two, they'd lost to Dominic Davis and the Ottawa Redblacks. I thought it was about to be the longest year of my life.
No, I mean,
you
have to look at...
don't tell me you're feeling different. They got beat by Ottawa.
I was telling you the next day the team was be all right. They'd finished... They've been the strongest finishers since 2016, and they were also, over the last few years, they were known to start slow, right? It was an organization that just started slow, so that was a thing. And the nice part about it is this year they stayed true to themselves. They finished the year strong. Were they 4-2 in the last third of the year?
6-0 right? In the middle, 4-2 in the last third, yep.
Again, it was a great year. It was a great year, but – I remember sitting in the locker room in my final year when we had just lost the West Final to Toronto in Montreal, and I remember our coaches coming around, and one of the linebacker coaches came to me, shook my hand. He says, "Hey, man, thanks for everything you did this year. We got a lot of wins this year, right?" And I remember thinking to myself, and it's not about wins. We didn't get the important win, you know, and again, when you're young, you think you play in every Grey Cup. You think you're going to win about six of them. You're going to play for 20 years, and you're going to be one of the greats. But again, nine-year career, one Grey Cup, right? You look at guys like Milt Stegall, Hall of Famers. There's Hall of Famers in this league that have played for, you know, 15 years.
Doug Brown calling the game for Winnipeg.
Is one of them as well, right? They don't have a Grey Cup ring. They're few and far between, and they're hard to get. And yeah, so that's what you play for, because it's unfortunate, and I'm right on this, is no two teams are alike, and when you look at the ring on your finger, that's what brings it all back, all the emotion. I can put my Grey Cup ring on from 2007, and I remember every single moment. I don't remember what I spent my Grey Cup check on. I don't even recall saving any money in 2007.
You don't still have a camper from leftover?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think I bought a watch and then lost it in a poker game like that, right? Like, so
you bought a gambling addiction. Sweet. Okay, I got it.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So you put all the, and I say this a lot on there too, is that you know, memories are a home you build to live in once you're older, right? Like, the memories always seem incomplete if you don't get to the Grey Cup, right? I was fortunate enough to play in three of them. Only won one again, but if you're the Riders and you're Rider Nation listening to this, you got to understand that eight other teams feel the way we do right now.
Yeah.
Right? And it's incomplete, and there are no, you know, you don't remember the second place team either. Right, so there's going to be one team that feels the way they should. It's always there's only one team in this league that does the locker cleanup day on the right day. Literally, that's the funniest part is that one team is going to feel good cleaning out their locker. The rest of the eight teams just feel like crap. Same in the NFL. Yeah. 32 teams, 31 of those teams hate locker cleanout days. The 32nd team loves it.
Which is why it was so nice that Kyron Moore talked about the locker room and his teammates, the way they talked about the defensive backs, all talk about brothers and love. And I wasn't exaggerating when I mentioned that to Coach Dickinson. I've never heard a team talk more about love and brotherhood than these guys.
This Winnipeg team will.
Yeah.
This Winnipeg team, they're predicated on that. And I've criticized them for it, right? You've heard me say, like, man, so there's some times where that we are family narrative falls apart on you because you have to make business decisions. right? And it's not, I'm sure that the feeling in Winnipeg right now is that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders came in a really good team, but they came in as a family, and they left as a family with a W. But you're right. I mean, you love the guys that you're with, right? You love them. And that's what makes the offseason so crappy, is you lose the guys too. Right, guys,
well,
and guys,
NFL, other CFL teams,
guys have to
one-year contracts.
Guys have to turn on self-preservation mode now. It goes from team, rah, 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 green and white. Oh man, I bleed green. Oh man, I love Rider Nation. Oh man, the fans are the best too. Oh man, what's best for me?
Secure period. The bag, as Randy Moss says.
Secure the bag. That's all it's about in the offseason, right?
Yep.
So they'll have another opportunity to start that family dynamic again, but that opportunity, unfortunately, is going to have to wait till June. The Grey Cup winning team secures that family dynamic for eternity. Literally after Sunday, for eternity, even when they're dust and bones, people will remember yep. their name.
Andrea Sinclair, listening south of Sydney, Australia, can't imagine the range of folks who have been listening to the game. High level Alberta, Rome was one. Multiple from Australia, Sook, BC, Indianapolis. This team resonates, and these players all understand it. And some of them have seen other organizations, and some of them go, oh, yeah, okay. No,
we won a Grey Cup.
This is a team I want to play with and for.
We won a Grey Cup in 2007, and while I was on vacation in Mexico, I got a text from Wayne Smith saying, do you believe this BS? I'm like, what happened? I thought Wayne got cut, or I got cut. I check the internet.
Yeah.
And we had just traded the most outstanding player of the league. Like, man, this, I'm telling you, man,
well,
there's no surprises in the offseason. And it's, unfortunately, you slip right to offseason mode at this point.
And those are hard decisions that GMs and coaches have to make.
Well, look at the decisions here.
Well,
right? You're going to, I'll tell you what, there's some great decisions coming up.
Yep.
They're going to get to really figure out, okay, well, what do you want to do with this O-line? Where's Brendan Labatt in his career, right? Do we move Brendan in the center and buy him another couple years? If we do, what do we do with Dan Clark, right? What do we do with Shepley? What do we do with Darius Bladek, who, by the way, was a healthy scratch for, what was it, the last three games?
One game injured list, yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. There, like Benny said on Sports Cage, there are seven other teams that would literally shoot Jeremy O'Day in the face for the rights to Darius Bladek, right? Like, there's going to be some cool decisions coming up.
Manny
What's Shaq
going to
do?
Jordan Williams-Lambert. Is Shaq Evans, is he still the right age? He can go
What's
to the
Shaq?
NFL.
Right? Solly. Like, there's...
One-year deal.
There's a ton
Derek
of...
Derek Moncrief.
Creef
Does
might end up in the NFL.
Yeah. Lucchese Purifoy, I believe,
Purifoy,
is a free agent.
Man.
Naaman Roosevelt is a free agent.
Well, see, now, so
out
now,
of my cold,
so
dead
now
hand,
you,
can you get
so
it,
now
Naaman
do
Roosevelt?
You see, though, now do you see why it's just not good enough to spin the We Are Family and the grab the kumbayas? Because
I'm going to go happy
day,
again.
Well, that's what
I'm
going
to go happy again. Think of the decisions Jeremy O'Day made in advance of this year. Almost every single one of them worked out beautifully. Manny.
Oh, yeah.
Solomon
Elamimian. For sure.
Worked out fantastic.
But Jeremy's not in the locker room. I'm talking about the guys in the locker room. That stuff that Kyron Moore's talking about. And it's why it stings so much, because you know you're not going to see some of those guys.
Yeah.
Right? And, man. But Rider Nation, we should have a fair amount of confidence in what's coming up, because Jeremy O'Day has now proven that he is going to make decisions that are good for the team. But here's his big test now. Even Jeremy O'Day has a huge test come up right now, and it starts today. Can Jeremy O'Day continue to bring in talent? That has not been the Achilles heel of the Saskatchewan Roughriders over the last 3 years. The talent has been here. So now, can Jeremy O'Day continue to build? If it's anything like what we saw out of him, the answer is leaning towards a lot more towards yes than it is no, right? So, again, it's going to be a tumultuous, fun, anxiety-filled, happy offseason. See, I threw in happy there for you, DT, because at the end of the day,
you're my guy,
right? At the end of the day, football is a very small blip on the radar of life.
I might just get that hug from Luke Mullender.
You will
after
not get the
all.
Hug. I'm telling you right now. I promise you.
You heard the post-game rewind from Miners Leisure World. Hundreds of the top-selling RVs to choose from, giving you volume discounts all summer long. One more block from us in the booth in our final broadcast of the season. Then we'll send you to Michael Ball for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. We will continue at Mosaic Stadium. The Riders falling short in the West Final, 20-13 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. final block for Luke Mulliner and I for the season for Willow Park Wines and Spirits, Engelheim Charter, and Redhead Equipment. We got just a taste of how far Rider Nation reaches. We mentioned Australia, Alberta, Ontario, the East Coast, the West Coast, Europe, like unbelievable. Thank you, everyone who listened to us during the season. Thank you for your comments, good or bad. You loved us, you hated us. We're just happy that we're here, honestly, to be with you.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's an absolute honor to do this job. And I know that it was your first year. I'll say on air that you did a fantastic first year. Great job. But, man, it's so cool knowing that you're talking to an audience that's just the heart of the country, right? You're talking to guys that are getting the crop off the ground in you know, some real crappy weather. You're talking to truckers that are moving the grains. It's just, man, it's so cool to know that you have an audience, and it makes you respect it, right? If we were in Toronto, me and you wouldn't have to put any type of pregame work in. I could show up hungover. Or actually, I could probably show up drunk and do the game, right? Like, nobody would notice. Nobody's listening. But here in Western Canada and in the Prairie Belt, we know that we have a real engaged audience of hardworking people, man. It's pretty cool to know that your job's important.
Well, and people for whom football is important.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because it's important to us
in
our jobs. Yeah.
That's the kumbaya, right? That's the Yeah, but unfortunately now, man, business is business.
Yeah.
We're going to enjoy the week. We're going to go up to the Grey Cup. We're going to celebrate. I think the Riders are going to take home that most outstanding Canadian award. I really do.
I agree they should.
Yeah.
I think people are going to get fixated on Enoch Mwamba had almost 100 tackles.
Yeah, of course.
And unfortunately.
Yeah. And he's Enoch Mwamba.
The voters seem to get caught up on the very obvious numbers and not go, look at how Cam Judge exploded in the season
categories. Literally, you can use Cam Judge anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. You can only use Enoch Mwamba in one spot, that middle linebacker spot, or the weak side. You don't even want to put him on the strong side.
Yeah.
You can put Cam Judge anywhere on the field, except on the defensive line. But you wouldn't put Enoch there either.
Yeah. After what Cam did, I'd sure hope he's back next year in Ryder.
Well, that's
Green.
What I mean, right? There's a salary cap.
Yep.
So you only have a certain amount of money, and there's going to be guys who want all of it. And guys should want all of it because, again, the radar football is a blip on the radar of life, and you can only make that good money for a short amount of time.
Yeah. It has been our pleasure to bring you 19 games, 2 in the preseason, 21 football games, almost every one of them just thoroughly entertaining, apart from the beatdown of the Argos in Toronto. Thoroughly entertaining football games from this team this season, and a lot of reason to be encouraged from top to bottom with what's going to happen next year. The quarterback is secured.
That's the big thing. You got a good quarterback, and you've got just absolutely fantastic depth on the offensive line.
Things to be played with in the offseason, and many things that we will continue to discuss every day on the Sports Cage. Sports Cage is going to Grey Cup. Luther, what's up? Sports Cage is going to Grey Cup.
Hi,
we'll be
Bubba.
Broadcasting from there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Boom.
I'm going to stick around and watch the game. We'll talk about, you know, we're going to try to get Zach Collaros live on the show. Because,
let's do it. Let's get a bunch of them.
What a performance from him. What a season for him. And if it can't be the Riders, at least it's a great redemption story like Zach Collaros. For Luke, for Mark, for Nevin, for Abby, Bob and Mosh, and just everybody. Dalby and Balzi on the sidelines season long. So much appreciate all the work. And to put together a broadcast like this takes an incredible amount of hard work. Bob and Mosh are going to be here till goodness knows when, midnight.
Yeah.
And they were the first ones here today.
Yeah.
It takes so much to put together this broadcast. We certainly hope you'd enjoyed it, and please do join us next season. Luke and I will be at training camp filing reports, checking out linebackers on day one. Oh, this Gary Johnson Jr. looks like the next big thing.
This U-Sport linebacker,
yep.
He's a special teams demon. Jacob Jenke, never heard from him this year.
The return of Christopher Judge in 2020.
Yeah.
Who thank you so much for your love and your attention, and we very much appreciate you being with us. We'll be back in 2020 when the Riders will host the Grey Cup and have a great shot to win it at home. This has been Rider Football, the West Final on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.